Bibles ready to study, and if you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you to be an honored guest. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility to preach the truth. If you find I taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Travis has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. The baptistry's filled, there's clothing here. And upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you'll be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew and the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25. And if you will, read with me one verse for the thought of our study. Verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I recognize there are many subjects that people do not really enjoy hearing. I recognize that when I stand up to preach, there are some topics that people do enjoy listening to. I've heard very little objection to when I preach upon the family life and how the family life is to be directed. And I recognize that some people enjoy hearing other types of sermons. But when I preach upon the fact that there is tears in judgment, I recognize many people do not get excited over such a sermon. However, all the things revealed in the Word of God need to be preached. And in this particular sermon, I'm going to be dealing with a serious subject that so few really seem to believe in their hearts. And that is the picture of judgment and tears at judgment. The first thing I want to put in our hearts this morning is there will be a judgment day. And that is something that I would, that I had the ability to put into the heart of every individual, is there will be a day that we give an account to God Almighty. If you take your Bible and look in the book of Acts and the 17th chapter, you'll remember that Paul, when he was preaching, makes a statement in verse 30. In Acts 17 and verse 30, Paul said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He's ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Look at the statement made by the Apostle Paul in Acts 17, and in particular verse 31, God has appointed a day. There will be a judgment day. This is brought out in the Hebrew letter when the Hebrew writer says, it is appointed for all to die and then the judgment. So the first thing I want us to understand is there will be a judgment day. In your Bible, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice if you will what Paul had to say in verse 13. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 13, Paul says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. There will be a day that we give a reckoning, that we give an account for the deeds we have done. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul said that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul has made it clear, Jesus has made it clear, there will be a day of judgment. And that judgment will be before God. God will be the judge. If you take your Bible, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul wants us to understand that it's important we understand God's judgment is the one that matters. In verse 3, Paul said, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but He who judges me is the Lord. Notice he said it's a small thing to be judged by you. Now, he's not saying it doesn't matter what you think, but he is saying that man's judgment is minor compared to the judgment of God. Then he said he doesn't judge himself because he recognizes that man tries to justify his action. But the judgment that matters is the judgment of God. And he said, this will take place. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter. In Revelation chapter 20, we get a picture, and it's an awesome picture put before us. It's one that should make us stand and look at grandeur at the God of heaven. In Revelation 20 and verse 11, John writes, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. I want to get into our hearts this morning. There will be a judgment day. You can put it down. There will come a day that we stand before God and give an account. But when you go back to the book of Matthew and the 25th chapter, notice, if you will, that when Jesus gives this picture of the judgment, he shows there will be a separation. So not only will there be a judgment day, the second point we want to get out is there will be a separation. Look, if you will, that he says there will be some on the left hand and some on the right hand. If you look in your Bible, notice in verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate, underscore that word, separate before him them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right, but the goats on the left. Now notice, he said there will be some that will be on the right hand. And he said these are those that are righteous. These are those that are his sheep. These are those that will inherit the kingdom of God. But he said there will be some on the left. And these will be those that are condemned. These will be those that are shedding tears. These are those that are not going to heaven, but are going to everlasting damnation. This is brought out, if you will, in the book of John in the 5th chapter. When Jesus was teaching in the book of John and the 5th chapter, he said in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all, and underscore that word, all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There's the resurrection of the righteous, and there's the resurrection of the ungodly, and there will be a separation. This is clear. There will be some who go to heaven and others lost in a terrible hell. That is brought out distinctly and plainly in God's divine record. But the third thing I want to bring out is the thought of tears. Go back, if you will, to the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter. And when you come back to Matthew 25, notice the statement that Jesus makes in verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Underscore weeping. That same principle is brought out in Matthew chapter 8 in verse 12. When he said, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice he says, there will be tears. There will be weeping in the day. There will be those that are shedding tears, for they're not ready to meet God. And for the rest of our time, I'd like for us to think about tears in judgment. Can you imagine if you stood at the left hand of God in the judgment, why you would shed tears? Could you imagine being at the left hand of God in that great separation on the day of judgment? The tears and the weeping and those grating their teeth out of anguish because they know they're condemned. Why would they shed tears? Well, first they'll shed tears because they'll remember the wasted opportunities of not obeying God. I'm sure that tears will be shed when they hear the verdict, depart, as Jesus talks about in Matthew 7:21. And that simply means they had refused to obey what they heard. People like Felix, who in Acts 24 heard the gospel by Paul. And he sent Paul away and he said, "Paul, at a more convenient time I will hear you." Can you imagine on the day of judgment when Felix is on the left hand, he will think about the fact he'd heard gospel sermon after gospel sermon. He'd heard Paul plead with him to make his life right. He'd heard Paul tell him what he needed to do. But instead of obeying Paul, he rejected the gospel. And can you imagine the tears that will flow from the eyes of that man who knew what he needed to do but did not do it? In your Bible in Acts 26, can you imagine Agrippa? When Agrippa said, "Oh, most thou persuaded me to be a Christian," can you imagine the tears that will flow from the eyes of an individual like Agrippa that heard the gospel proclaimed and knew what they needed to do, but they did not render obedience. They hesitated. They put it off. They did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think of those in Acts 17 on Mars Hill who heard the preaching of Paul, and they heard it proclaimed by Paul about the resurrection of Christ, and it said some laughed, some scorned, some believed, and others said, "We'll hear you again on this matter." Three reactions to the gospel, and yet two would put them in the left-hand category because they spurned the gospel invitation. They did not obey God. They refused. And imagine the tears of wasted opportunities. You heard the instruction of loved ones. You've had people plead with you for your soul. You've heard this man get in the pulpit and beg and plead with you to consider your eternal salvation. And can you imagine tears flowing from eyes of people that knew the truth and would not obey? They knew they were a sinner. They knew they needed the grace of God. They knew Jesus died for them. They knew that they could be forgiven. And yet they would not render obedience to God. Oh, I'll tell you, my friend, that almost brings tears to my eyes this morning. To think about the people that know the truth and have yet not obeyed it. We've got people in this audience that have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it almost makes me cry. To think that if you died in the condition you're in, that you would be on the left hand of God. There will be tears in judgment. But then I think about the tears of those who've accepted error. They've accepted false teaching. Now hear the words of Jesus. They've done many good things, but not by the will of God. In Matthew chapter 7, notice what Jesus had said to the people. He said to the people in Matthew chapter 7, look if you will at verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Here were people who were calling him Lord. He says, but not everyone who says, "Lord," will enter the kingdom. Why? He says, it's the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. He will enter it. "And many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" I think about the teaching in Acts 17 and verse 11. Those who will think about why did they not search the Scriptures to see if what they were practicing was so or not. To see if they have Bible authority for what they do. There will be tears of those who've accepted error and have not followed the truth of God. But I'll tell you, there'll be a third people who set tears. And that is those who misused their talents. Back in Matthew 25, the parable that Jesus was talking about was money when he talks about talent. But you think about the ability people have. Have you ever thought about money and ability that we can misuse that? And why is it that sometimes we don't use what we have to give God glory? Some people want God to bless them, but they never want to give God anything. They expect God to rain down blessing, but they don't give of their time, they don't give of their means, they don't give of their heart. And they practice lawlessness. But I'll tell you something else. There'll be some who will shed tears in that day because they recognize they'll be separated from God for eternity. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter in the 21st chapter. In Revelation 21, notice if you will, verse 8. In Revelation 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice, they're going to be on the outside. They're going to miss all the glory of heaven. And tears will be shed over this. Depart from God. What that word means in the day of judgment means separation for all eternity. Away from the presence of God. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, notice, if you will, that when Paul was writing to the churches at Thessalonica, Paul has a statement he makes in chapter 1 in verse 7. And verse 7 he says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us. That's what they're wanting when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. But look at the contrast in verse 8. Instead of getting rest, look at what He's going to do to those who aren't ready. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. What a picture! To never be in the presence of God again. You want to talk about shedding tears, my friend? Think about never being able to pray again and talk to God again and to see the glory of God. To be separated for all eternity in a place that is a separation that will cause great pain. And there will be eternal weeping, eternal tears, eternal pain. And the people who beg to be left alone. All the way through life, some have said, leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with God. In that day, they're going to be left alone. Never to be with God. And that's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Can you imagine the tears and judgment? Can you imagine what it'll be like to be on that left-hand side when Jesus hands down the verdict, I said I never knew you, depart. Can you imagine those who one time walked with God but left the faith, who no longer are obedient to God? They're on the left-hand side. Can you imagine the tears that are shed? Oh, my friend, there will be tears in the judgment. But what a contrast when you read Revelation 21. Look at the other side. In Revelation chapter 21, think about the statement made in verse 4. To those that are on the right side, they may have shed tears, but notice the statement, and God will wipe away every tear. Look at that, every tear. I'd be content for an angel to wipe away my tears. I'd be content for my mother or a loved one to wipe away my tears. But notice who would wipe away the tear? Our Heavenly Father. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Yes, the saints of God have shed tears on this earth. Tears from persecution, as Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 11. As those in the Revelation letter filled with tears throughout their life because of the persecution they suffered and how they were treated and killed. Tears due to the fact that you did not respond or have loved ones respond to the teaching of Christ. As is taught in the 119th Psalm in verse 136, where David said, rivers of tears flow down from mine eyes because they keep not thy law. But for the righteous, the tears will be wiped away. Have you ever thought about, in this life, we shed a lot of tears? I see some of you, you've suffered, you've experienced heartache, you've had problems, you've had troubles, you've had trials, you've experienced things that I may not ever know. And some have lived a life filled with heartache.
But I'll tell you, the saddest thing is to live a life filled with pain here and still miss Him. And think of the tears shed because you've rejected the cross. I would I had the ability to wake some people up to the judgment day. I'm thankful that God will be the judge. And I'm thankful that there is hope of heaven. But what a contrast between tears at judgment and the one who has his tears wiped away. I have a question for you as we close this lesson. What tears will you shed? And what tears will be wiped away? If the Lord came back today, would the finger of God wipe your face and every tear you've shed from your eyes? Or would your crying just begin for all eternity? Because you've been separated from the God of all comfort. That's what Paul calls Him. All comfort stems from God. And you've been separated from Him for all eternity. We don't know pain until God's out of our life for good. I would rather tears of joy come down our eyes today because you've accepted Christ and not rejected the cross. And I would rather God wipe away every tear I've experienced in this life than to weep for eternity because I rejected. Will you weep for eternity, or will God wipe away your tears? How will you respond? Will you come as together we stand and sing, we cordially invite.